Hey, feeling unsure about your finances these days? You're not alone. That's why Noble Gold Investments is here to help. Just hear it straight from the people who they've helped. The Noble crew walked me through everything with no stress. With their help, I could finally sleep easy at night. And now this month, Noble Gold Investments is handing out a free 5-ounce silver America the Beautiful coin if you qualify for an IRA. Invest in gold and silver with Noble Gold Investments. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. Hey, everybody. Tan the Charlie Kirk Show. My speech at the Texas Youth Summit. Enjoy and become a member. We are traveling the country working hard. If you want to support the work we're doing, go to charliekirk.com. Click on the members tab for advertiser-free episodes and a way to support our show. It's affordable for all income levels. Subscribe now, charliekirk.com, and become a member. Become an insider at charliekirk.com. Click on the members tab. It really helps us out. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com.
Great to be here, everybody. I'm going to speak for a little bit, and then we're going to do questions. That's the most fun. So get your hardest question that you have. All right? Great to be here. Christian, you've done a great job. Honored to be partnering with you here at the Texas Youth Summit. Every single one of you, you need to start a Turning Point USA chapter right now, or maybe you're already involved. Who here is already running Turning Point USA chapters here? I saw some of you guys earlier. Love it. It is the most important thing you can do to help save the Republic and save the country. So there's a lot we could talk about here tonight, and I thought that the most important thing I could tell you is you need to commit and be clear to what worldview that you are viewing everything through. It's the most important question a young person can answer. So the way you view the news, oh, is my mic not working? Is that better? Ah, good. Thank you. The way you view the news, the way you view your relationships, the way that you view everything comes through a worldview. And that worldview is going to instruct not just how you vote, but if you end up getting married, how you relate to other people. And so a typical worldview that you would find in government school, and maybe some of you here tonight have this worldview, is I don't really know where I fit. I think that everything, you know, live and let live, do whatever I want to do. There's left-wing worldviews, which is I don't want to work and I want to complain all day long and get stuff for free. There are, you know, atheist worldviews, which there is not a God and there's no reason for our existence. Or there's the most important and the true worldview, which is a biblical worldview. Now, a biblical worldview means that, first of all, you believe there is a God and you are not him. Two pretty important things. You believe that you're made in the image of God, that you're here for a purpose, and that every single human life has inherent value, that you have a soul. You're not just a clump of cells that has come into being through allegedly millions of years of Darwinian evolution. Now, some of you might say, Charlie, I don't know what my worldview is, and that's okay. But as you grow older, every way that you view the news, everything comes from this question of the lens of your worldview. Now let's kind of look at how the media wants you to think. By what worldview do they actually prescribe for you? There's these fake religious worldviews that have come forward. The first of which is one that has permeated our society and that is one of the most treacherous, which is the live and let live, or who am I to judge, or I can do whatever I want. You know, I visit college campuses, so many of you don't have to, but I guess we're talking to mostly a younger audience, so you know of what I speak. And when I talk to some of these younger activists, they'll tell me, Charlie, it doesn't matter. Everyone can do whatever is right in their own eyes, and morality is in somebody's own personal opinion. Subjective morality. Now, some of you might agree at that. It's actually a dreadfully awful idea. You need objective morality to be able to design and construct an entire society. For example, if somebody says that murder is okay, and they think it's okay, and somebody disagrees, well, who wins? It's a question of the will. It's a question of power. And so as you view your own decisions and you view your place in the world, you must be able to answer some very specific and some very basic questions. The most important of which is, where do you get right and wrong from? This is a very interesting question that most young people can't answer. They will say, well, murder is wrong and stealing is wrong. Why do you believe that? Where do you get that from? And they'll say, well, it's inherent. And most people know that, and that is not true. People naturally do not know good or evil. You might have a little bit of a conscience built into you, maybe, but we know this from the scriptures. We know this, that God had to reveal his law to his people and teach it repeatedly because we're inherently broken and fallen people. Said differently, that absent a belief in God, people do not believe in nothing. They will believe in anything. For example, they'll believe men can give birth, which many of you might laugh at. This is what's taught on many college campuses across the country. Now, you didn't have me come here tonight to tell, like, the happy talk. Let me speak very plainly about the trans agenda that is spreading in this country. That the trans agenda is one of the most dangerous, deceitful, and evil things happening in America today, targeting your generation. God created man, God created female, that's it. End of story. There are, somebody asked me, they say, how many genders are there? You want a real thought crime? How many genders? I say zero. Gender is a made-up word. We only started using gender in the 1960s or 70s. There are two sexes. Do you notice how they don't say transsexual? They say transgender. That's been a word game they've played with all of us. So gender, you should just completely reject. There are two sexes. And no matter how hard you try, no matter how much makeup you put on, you try to wear a dress, you try to pretend something that you are not, you don't cease being the biological or chromosomal makeup of how you were born. You remain a man or you remain a woman. And this is why the worldview matters. Because someone would say, but I feel like a woman. I feel like a man. Your feelings are completely irrelevant to the truth. Completely irrelevant. Now, somebody might say, well, Charlie, what does that mean? Do you want to, you know, use power? Look, people can be delusional. When you're in your own living room, you can wear a dress. It's kind of creepy or weird. But why do you want to make me have to believe the lie? Force me to use your pronouns. To force me to allow you into our locker, the female locker rooms. Like, that's really pervy and weird, actually. To force us to have to then teach it in our schools. And this is not something that's naturally occurring. If I could just communicate this as plainly as possible, this is a social contagion. That kids are saying they're trans because they think it's cool. And some of you might say, oh, no, come on, my friend, you know, they really have thought that they're a boy since they're 8 years old. Yeah, they've been lying to themselves since they were 8 years old. And instead of saying, let's go chop off your breasts, or give you a double mastectomy, or put you on Lupron, we should love that person enough to tell them the truth and not affirm the lie that they're going to keep on living, that they're something that they are not. But it's even worse than that. Because so many of you, if you just repeated what I would just say, you would have teachers, administrators, supervisors, friends, and other parents call you a hater. Say that you are not compassionate. And this is a trick that they use all the time. And this is why worldview matters so much. You remove a biblical Christian worldview, which is what the entire Western society is built on, then you all of a sudden start believing in the wackiest, weirdest stuff imaginable. This is a real example. This is not some sort of fringe thing. You go to the CDC, the Center for Disease Control website, right now, under the Biden regime, and they say people that give birth. Birthing people, not women. They go to the Center for Disease Control website. They say that not breastfeeding, chest feeding. The CDC has now said it's perfectly okay for a biological man to be able to take lactating drugs to chest feed a baby. Just so we're clear, that will give that baby heart problems and potentially kill the baby. Just so we're clear. And so our own government is saying that the ideology of this radical trans zealotry matters more than protecting a baby's life. This is what happens when you do not have a structured worldview. And this is, it's okay, if you're here today and you say, you know, I'm not sure what I believe, and I'm not sure, everybody will end up believing from some book, some piece of literature, some piece of art, some influencer. You have, the younger you identify where you get your worldview from, the better. And here's what always confuses the secularists or the Marxists. You put them on defense and say, where do you get good versus evil? Where do you get holy versus profane? Where do you get these distinctions? And they can never answer it. They say, oh, it's just inherent. And this is what is so critically important. As America becomes less godly, which we are losing the idea of God in America very quickly, we become less free. You cannot have a free society and also have a godless society. They will replace it with a big government that comes in and says that we're going to solve all of your problems. And it's going to require you, an entire generation of young people, to stand up for truth, for righteousness, and courage, even when it is difficult. I guarantee you, someone's going to come ask a question. But Charlie, I'm going to be graded differently and kicked out of class and called names and smeared and slandered. How many of you think you would be graded down if you came out as a conservative against the trans agenda? Raise your hand. Anybody? Not half the hands. The rest of you are homeschooled, so it doesn't count. So you should not care is the answer. If they will grade you differently, if they will kick you out of class, it is always the right decision to stand for truth with courage, regardless of the cost. The younger the age you commit to that, the sooner you say, I don't care what they take from me, I will stand for righteousness, the freer you will actually be. What the bad guys are very good at is weaponizing name-calling against you. Now, there's some very interesting things happening right now generationally. Most of you, almost all of you, are Generation Z. So let me take this piece by piece. At Turning Point USA, we have an amazing high school outreach department. We have an amazing college outreach department. And we're seeing some trends that are also fitting with some of the data that we're seeing nationwide. Did you know that Gen Z's men are the most conservative young men in nearly 50 years? 50 years. Now, I'm going to tell you why, and also tell you, young ladies, you guys are a disaster compared to the men. I'm sorry. Now, I'm glad you're here. We need more of you. But I'm sure you agree that many of your female friends are not exactly, let's say, MAGA, right? Not exactly. Let's start with men. This is very promising. There is a war on men in America today, unlike anything we've ever seen. They are trying to turn men into women, literally. They're trying to have young men be addicted to pornography, smoking weed, staying in their basement. Now, one of the ways that you could do that is to never smoke weed. It's really bad for you. Never watch pornography. It will destroy your soul and crush your brain, and save yourself for marriage. That's the true way to be a rebel in America. But there's something else where young men are starting to see the entire culture is against them. That from toxic masculinity to this idea that everything that a man might want to do, from owning a firearm to going hunting or fishing, is against the correct American values, and young boys becoming men are looking for any sort of movement to attach themselves to. And whether it be watching Joe Rogan or Jordan Peterson or anybody out there that says, you know what? Not only is it okay to be a man, we need strong men. It's a great thing to be a strong, confident, courageous man. And if you want to take over a country, if you want to take over a country, you have the men start disengaging from society. If you want, you neuter that society literally. You keep the young boys afraid of their own shadow, that they'll be accused of sexual harassment because they say something to a young lady that might have been deemed as offensive. And I'm going to talk to the young ladies here, okay? Which is not going to go over very well, but that's fine. I'll get that in a second. It should go over fine, but be open-minded. But I'll say this when it comes to young men, which is some of you might say, Charlie wants us to be strong, manly men. And you think you could like come out like you're Rambo. You know, easy. Being a man in America, the masculine figure means you're going to stand up for the innocent. Means you're going to stand up for people who can't protect themselves. It means that you're going to have your head on the swivel for someone that is not as strong as you, where you can intervene when something evil is happening. It means that you're going to stand up for the kid at lunch who's getting picked on unnecessarily because he talks funny, or the young girl that gets picked on. Your job as a man is to have enough spine and some other anatomy to look the bully in the eye and kick them out of the conversation. Being a man is not about like taking, you know, protein shakes and bench press. That's all fine. You should do that. Get your testosterone rates up. Stop eating Impossible Burgers. It's awful for you. Veganism is from Satan. Like, it's really bad. Okay? So don't do that. Don't. Men, have zero soy in your diet ever. Okay? Oh, that's fine. But a man in America is not about sleeping with as many women as you can. Those are boys. Those are grown infants. Oh, I have a body count. You have no self-control. You're no better than a rabbit is what you are. My body count. Nothing more than a lost boy. You impress nobody by going around with that. Zero people. You know what a true man does? Is he waits for his soulmate and he acts in a way where he says no to the immediate pleasure. He doesn't stay out till 2 a.m. drinking into the night. He doesn't play video games. Yeah, sorry, thought crime. It's not making you tough or cool to play Call of Duty. Like, no, sorry. Nobody cares. But Charlie, I'm bored. Go find something interesting. Life is great. It's a lot better than staring at a screen with a bunch of buttons. But it improves my hand-eye coordination. No, it doesn't, okay? You're a loser. I told you, I'm not the happy talk guy. You'll get that later. All right. But young men, the last thing I'll say is this, is that if you're here and you're depressed and you say, I feel things are against you, snap out of it. There's a great life ahead of you. You need a challenge in your life. You need a Genesis 12 moment when Abram leaves his father's home and to go on an adventure. You need to say no to the easy stuff. Young men in America are nowhere nearly as challenged as they should be. We pander to young boys and say, it's okay if you sit on your phone all day long. It's fine. I mean, pornography is normal. It's fine. It's nothing normal about it, actually. First generation ever that has these like weird fantasies when it comes. And we wonder why so many kids aren't getting married and they're killing themselves. It's a disaster. And so for my message to young men is there's a journey and there's a challenge out there that is beyond your wildest imagination. But it's going to start with you saying no to the easy stuff. The stuff that makes you feel really good very quickly is the stuff that you must say no to. Weed, alcohol, porn is a good place to start.
Are you prepared for the unthinkable ahead? Charlie Kirk here. We all need to pray for the best, but prepare for the worst. That means stockpiling emergency food before it's too late. Right now, go purchase a 3-month emergency food kit from MyPatriotSupply.com, the nation's leader in self-reliance. Order yours today by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Each family member needs their own kit when disaster strikes. These 3-month kits from MyPatriotSupply.com give an abundance of delicious meals, providing over 2,000 calories a day. You'll have plenty to eat when everyone else is scavenging empty store shelves. Stock up now, because you won't get a warning when disaster hits. You are 9 meals away from anarchy. That's right, 9 meals away from anarchy. Order by 3 o'clock today, and your order ships the same day for free. The unthinkable can happen at a moment's notice. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com.
Okay, now to the young ladies. Totally different thing. Okay. Now, in case you didn't know, I identify as a man, so my identification means nothing. It's the truth that matters. So here's what I'll say with young ladies, okay? I have to think about the way to say this so I don't get in trouble. Oh, you should see the emails I get if I have one word. Okay, young women, stop acting like men. Now you might say, oh, I don't act like a man. I don't act like a man. Fine. You have to answer this one question. Would you rather have a great career or a family? You have to answer that question tonight. And you say, I want both. Wrong. Answer it. Pick one. Career, family. And that doesn't mean you can't potentially have both, but you have to answer it tonight. And if you say, I want to be a boss babe, I want to have a career, that's fine. You'll probably end up 33 years old, single, with cats, in an apartment, and a degree from Rice. Charlie, that's mean. I can do it all because of all these social media influencers. Maybe. Or maybe all the good ones are gone and men don't want to marry you once you get in your early 30s. They don't. This is the tough love you need, everybody. Young ladies, I'm here to tell you tonight, the number one email I get from young listeners are young women in their 30s grieving that they put their career first, that they bought the lie to go get the piece of paper, to go make partner at the law firm, to go get the master's degree. And they said, oh, I can get married later. 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 And they are 37 and they say, well, I'm ready to get married. And the young men who finally, you know, they get mature around like age 33, right? They're going to go marry a 23-year-old. Like, they're like, I'm not going to do that. Are you kidding me? The cat woman? No way. Not doing that. You might say, Charlie, that's so mean. It's so wrong. No, it's a fact is what it is. And what is happening in America is we, for the first time ever, have more single young women in their early 30s than married young women in their early 30s. And they're very, very angry. It's not a joke. It's not a prognostication. It's not a guess. Is that they're understandably bitter because they've done everything that they said they're supposed to do. And then they want the thing that God programmed you to want more than anything else. And here's the thought crime. Any sort of young woman who tells me I don't want a family, I think you're lying to me. I think deep down, you actually want to get married and have a manly man take care of the family and provide. And I think deep down, you actually want to have kids. I think deep down, you want a culture that says you don't have to go get the master's degree just to be acceptable as a female in America. The most important role in America is a loyally married wife raising children for God. That's the most important role in America. Not some sort of corporate banker for Goldman Sachs. Oh, I work at Google. I earn $400,000 a year. Great, nobody cares. Why is the country falling apart? Because you have a bunch of boss babes that don't take marriage and raising kids seriously. We need to tell women, not only is it okay, you are commanded to do this. And having a one-year-old, I am completely ill-equipped to do this as a man. That should be a lot funnier than it is. I have no idea what I'm doing when it comes to raising an infant. You'll understand at some point, okay? My wife swoops in and it's like a whole different dimension of activity I've never seen before. Soothing the baby, feeding the baby. Men and women are different. And the lie of the trans agenda, the lie of one of these worldviews is that you do not have, you know, men can replace women and women can replace men. That is a bunch of trash. It's a bunch of nonsense. Do you know that the countries around the world where, quote unquote, gender equality has reached has the most unhappy women all across the world? that when women have to force themselves into an overly corporatized environment, and, you know, some young ladies might come here and they might say, Charlie, but I want to be this and I want to be that. That's fine. Go. Achieve your dreams. Take a risk. Go do all that. But you also must be comfortable not getting that. Okay, so let me close with this. The most important decision that you can make is to Almighty God, is to giving your life to Jesus Christ. Every single one of you is going to have to make that decision. Here's the way I can ask the question. Who is Jesus Christ? Was Jesus a historical figure? Was he an author? Was he a thinker? Or is Jesus the Son of God? The answer to that question is the most important question that you will have to answer. It will determine your eternity. The gospel in 4 words, Jesus took my place. The gospel in 3 words, him for me. The gospel for 2 words, substitutionary atonement. The gospel in 1 word, grace. What is grace? Justice is getting what you deserve. We all deserve hell because we are all sinners. Mercy is getting less of what you deserve, so a reduced prison sentence. Grace is when you go to the judge and he sentences you to hell, and the moment you're about to get there, somebody steps up and says, he is free because I served that prison sentence for them. You do not earn heaven. You do not do points to get into heaven. It is a gift from above because Jesus died for you so that you could live forever. You give your life for Christ. It's the most important decision you can make. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Aren't you tired of not making a difference? You can. We can make a difference standing for life by giving free ultrasounds with our friends at Preborn. In a Dobbs world, states decide about abortion, and so many liberal states are taking extreme stands, even allowing abortion up to literally the second before a baby is born. It's unbelievable, but true. And in California, the demand for abortions has increased 400% in part because the state is inviting women and girls to come to California for the sole purpose of aborting their baby. This is abortion trafficking. Take a stand for life by providing an ultrasound for a young woman. When you do, she is twice as likely to choose life. I'm a donor, and you should be too, to Preborn. Just $28 provides that ultrasound and saves one baby. $140 saves five. A gift of $15,000 provides an ultrasound machine that can save thousands of babies for years to come. Call 833-850-2229 or click on the Preborn banner at charliekirk.com. That is charliekirk.com, and click on the Preborn banner. With that, let's do some questions, and God bless you guys. Thanks for sitting through that. Thank you. Did I offend too many people? Was that a little? All right, I really don't care if I did, but that's fine. Yeah.
Hi, Charlie. Thank you for coming to speak with us tonight. My name is Heike, and I go to Baylor University in Waco, Texas, Sikkim Bears. This question is actually about your wife, Erica. Congratulations on your first child, by the way. That's a blessing. You're a busy guy traveling around the country trying to fight pervasiveness and immorality, and I wanted to know what role your wife, Erica, plays in your professional life and in the contribution to your ability to continue what you do professionally and what single women can do now to prepare for that role.
Well, beautiful question. I have the best wife on the planet, and she does not have an easy job being married to me. Constant fights, constant pressure, constant death threats, right? Constant people trying to hunt us down, you know, and murder us. Not an exaggeration, by the way. And she's as tough as nails. She loves it. And she prays for us. She covers the family spiritually. The role of the woman, the wife, is to make sure that the home is sacred and holy. I'm out hunting. I'm out fighting. And I come home, and everything is just not pristine in the visual, but it's a place where the battle-worn can come to have that spiritual solace to be refilled. And by the way, she has her own fights, too. She runs Bible in 365, Proclaim Streetwear. You guys should all be, you know, follow her. And she's also the most beautiful person, you know, out of 7 billion people, if I may say so much. If you disagree, you're wrong. But Erica, more than anything else, which is so hard to find, is that she's a fighter. And she does not get intimidated by all the satanic crap that gets thrown at us. In fact, she is so spiritually disciplined She is so well read on the scriptures. She's like, oh, that's an attack from the enemy. That's an unclean spirit. We need to get our spiritual disciplines right. And the wife, if you get into a marriage and the husband's working and all this, you have to understand that when he comes back, being a Proverbs 31 woman is part of knowing the scriptures, knowing the spiritual warfare, submitting to your husband. And by the way, the second part of the verse is never talked about. And the husband has to submit the same way under Christ, just so we're clear. And that's a hard thing for some people to grasp. And we have a beautiful marriage. I'm so thankful. She's the best mom ever. But she's a fighter. And young ladies, fight for your man. Because so many women will turn their back on their man when things get tough or fragile and they don't necessarily have that spine. If you're spiritually oriented in the scriptures correctly, then you'll be ready for battle, as it says in Ephesians, and put the full armor of God on. Thank you. Yes, sir. The hardest questions you guys have, by the way. Yes.
Hello, sir. My name is Joseph Damari, and we all live in America, and one of the defining qualities that's kind of been like tied with the American identity is freedom. But we often forget to ask, what is freedom? And I have my own thoughts on it, but I'd like to hear your opinion on what is freedom.
Yeah, great question. I don't know if you guys could hear that. The question is, what is freedom? It's a really important question. So I'm going to use the word liberty instead, if that's okay. They're synonyms, but they're not exactly the same thing. So here's a good question for you guys. Is it in the spirit of the founding fathers of liberty that you can do heroin on the side of the street? Yes, no, but it's freedom, right? Do what you want. Second question, is it in the spirit of the founding fathers for dressed up men to go dance in front of children at local libraries and call it a drag queen story hour? So the question then, it's not necessarily about doing whatever you want to do, however you want to do it, is that liberty or freedom must point to something virtuous. It is a means to a moral end. Liberty is doing the ability to be able to do what you ought to do. And yes, that means you must make truth claims. You see, the secular left, or even some people in the conservative movement that need to be kicked out of the conservative movement, they'll say, well, who am I to judge if some guy wants to go dance in front of children in a thong? We should judge those people. If you want to go do drag queen story hour and try to manipulate children. So freedom is not doing whatever you want to do, however you want to do it. Freedom or liberty is the ability to do the right thing without government getting in the way. Thank you so much.
Hi, Charlie. Thank you so much for being here today. We really appreciate it. So historically, governments have taken into account the fact that whoever controls the culture controls the people. They've used the musical arts accordingly. It's obvious in Western society today that the left is using messaging and popular music to push their radical ideologies. What are your thoughts on how conservative musicians from all genres can gain the support needed to push back and promote music with normal conservative values?
Yeah, so that's a great point. So I can't stand Taylor Swift, for example. Total waste of time. If any of you like Taylor Swift, you should stop supporting Taylor Swift. So, and I know some of you are ready to like throw something at me. Look, she's an awful role model for young women, okay? You want to talk about a body count? Woo! Holy moly. So she's terrible. She complains all the time. I don't think her music's that good, but that's not the point. That's a little bit mean, but it's not good. But music, think about, I mean, she's supposed to be like the virtuous one in the American music, let's say, library, right? I mean, it goes from like Taylor Swift, who's supposed to be like the easy one to listen to, the family friendly. And then, I mean, you go like Ariana Grande, Nicki Minaj, not exactly pursuing virtue, right? I'm going to not express my opinions on country music because that will definitely get me kicked off the stage. But I will say that reading the lyrics of country music sometimes can be redeemable. The noise of country music drives me nuts, but that's a separate issue. So I know you're going to, I'm from Chicago, can't stand it. It's awful, but that's a separate issue. But what creates good art? Let's agree on something, okay? Art means to point at something. Art is not your own personal opinion. So, for example, at the Guggenheim or whatever, one of these, you know, hoity-toity places, they have this new piece of art, that's a black screen. And they call it Toronto at Night. And here's my general rule of thumb. If I can do it, it's not art, okay? Or someone that, like, signs a urinal, okay? That's a real thing, start in the 1920s. So how do we get music better in alignment? It's a really important question. So Mozart, Bach, Beethoven, they all wrote the same thing at the top of all of their composers. Glory be to God. All their music pointed towards the divine. One of the reasons why our art is just so awful is because what are we pointing towards? This is why Taylor Swift's music is steaming hot garbage. It's all about herself. It's not pointing towards anything. I broke up with my boyfriend. Okay, like that's weaponized narcissism with like chords. How about you talk about something above yourself? And this is the problem with Western art, is everyone thinks about your feelings, yourself. The greatest artistic achievements were when the artist decided to take themselves out of the picture and they looked at something that they wondered at. As Aristotle would say, wonder is the beginning of philosophy. And so how do we reclaim the arts of the music? We have to support creators, but more importantly, we have to get our philosophy right. Ask the question, who are you glorifying with this practice? To whom are you dedicating it? And from there, we'll start to get, hopefully, more morally redeemable and beautiful art. Thank you. Appreciate it. Next question.
Good evening, Mr. Kirk. I'm Nick Walker, president of TPUSA at Sam Houston.
See, you should all be a Turning Point chapter leader. Love it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and we're making a lot of difference. My question for you, sir, is, what advice would you have for young activists?
Oh, boy. Stay engaged. Do not allow the bad guys with their weaponized name calling to get you down. And honestly, reach out for as much mentorship and help as you can from the older generation. We have an amazing audience on the Charlie Kirk Show. And so many people email us saying, Charlie, I wish I could be a mentor. I wish I could help. And so that would be my advice, is reach out for advice, reach out for support from the amazing patriots, you know, in Harris and Montgomery County that want to be able to support you. And stay involved with Turning Point USA. If you stay involved with Turning Point, we have members of Congress, state reps. Turning Point USA is jet fuel on somebody's political career. God bless you, man. Thank you, sir.
Hey, Charlie Kirk here. If you guys love this program and you want to support this program, if we have impacted or blessed your life in any way, I want to tell you about a new thing that we are starting it up. First of all, if you have supported us at charliekirk.com/support, nothing to worry about. You guys are going to be moved on over. If you want to support us even more and say, hey, I want exclusive content, I want to talk to Charlie directly, we are standing up this amazing infrastructure. Team's been working so hard at members.charliekirk.com. Not only is it a way to support us directly outside of all of the other channels, but get this, live Q&As with me and the team, articles exclusively written by me that you won't find anywhere else, pre-show prep calls, and more. Sign up today at members.charliekirk.com. We love bringing our show every day, and we can't wait to bring you even more content that is just for you at the Charlie Kirk exclusive. That's members.charliekirk.com. Head to members.charliekirk.com today. Yes, there's going to be a lot of goodies, a lot of engagement, a lot of fun stuff. But even more than that, if you feel moved and compelled that our show is impacting you and impacting the world, it would mean a lot if you became a member at members.charliekirk.com.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello, my name is Danelle Rios, and I attend YWLA in Aldine, and I have a lot of friends that they identify as transgender, and I am trying to, I guess, kind of like convert them, and I would like to know like how to combat it and how to like try to convert them, pretty much.
First of all, you have a really sweet way about you, and so you're going to be a lot more successful than I would be. Let me just put it that way. Yeah, it would not go well for me. So let me just give you some advice, because you have a really, really good way. I would basically be like, you know, stop being something you're not, and I'd probably get expelled from the school or something. So here's what I would do. I would try to find resources or help that do not affirm them. This idea of affirmation is so clinically unsubstantiated. I want you to imagine if you go to any sort of medical environment and you have something wrong with you and they affirm it. Like, do we do a depression affirming care? Or like cancer affirming care? Or like tumor affirming care? Like, these people have something wrong with them and they need to find help. So that's what I would do. And then I would just love on them. Love on them how Christ would. But that does not mean to affirm the sin. So this is one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible is John 8, which is quoted all the time by the weak Christians, right? Where they'll say, you know, let the first among you cast the first stone. But they don't tell you the end of the story when Christ goes up to the young woman, the prostitute, and he says, sin no more. How many times do we do that second part? Where we say, okay, yeah, no one is the judge, but do we tell people to stop sinning? So just love on them, tell them the truth, be compassionate, loving, kind, pray for them, but do not make excuses for them living in error for who they really are, because they're living a lie. God bless you. Thank you.
Okay, so I have two questions, kind of. So, one is, real quick, are you familiar with G.K. Chesterton?
Very, yeah, I quoted him earlier.
Okay. So, I really admire his view of, like, society and how it should be structured and the like, specifically in his view of economics.
Gotta get to the question, I'm running out of time.
Yep. Oh, okay. What do you think of G.K. Chesterton's view of economics?
I mean, I'm not, as I would imagine, he believed economics is a means to an end, right? That economics is not the end, but it's a means to a flourishing society. Am I probably right about that?
Yeah, he believed in a lot of, like, what, and in kind of a, like, welfare, but with a very Christian viewpoint.
So, yeah, I'm not as on board for that, but yeah, so.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, just to expand that, I believe in charity, not welfare. Charity is for people that need help and need support, but people game the system and they create entire lives of living off the government when they're able-bodied and they could work, and we shouldn't put up with that. Thank you. Yes. If it's okay, I'll go another 10 minutes, guys, if you're willing to sit through it. So, yes. Okay.
Good evening, Charlie. My name is Byron Waring. I go to Alpha Omega Academy in Huntsville, Texas.
Very good.
It is a moderately large Christian private school, and it's wonderful. My question for you this evening is this. What would you say to young men who don't necessarily want a wife or children or to extend their family?
Yeah, they're wrong.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, read the Bible. Be fruitful and multiply. Get a wife. And so this is a very important question. This is a really good... I'm not even making fun of you. It is worse for society for men to be alone than for women to be alone.
I agree.
Think about it. It is not good for man to be alone. Think about this. Adam had God. And even though he had God, it was not enough. He needed a partner. And so, yeah, men should go get married. And that sort of thinking is exactly one of the reasons why we have the moral crisis that we have. So, thank you. I guess we can only take one more. Yeah, go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Kirk. I just wanted to thank you for being a massive influence in my life.
Thank you.
It's inspired me to, at the age of 21, run against Cecil Bell Jr. here in Texas House District 3.
Praise God. Great.
Thank you. So my question goes along with the lines of, I go to the clubs. I get to meet the big wigs here in Montgomery County, but I'm like a mythical creature to them. They like my ideas, but they'll never repeat them to their friends. So how do we, as young conservatives, get the old guard to recognize us and actually take us seriously?
That's it's going to be a challenge you're going to have, right? Which they inherently don't listen as carefully because they think you're young, but also use it to your advantage. You talk to a lot of the Patriots in this room, they'll tell you that they are desiring for younger blood in the GOP. And so while there is opposition, I believe there, and I think you guys would agree, there's twice as much potential support for being a younger voice than there might be opposition. You're going to have to fight through that, which means you're going to have to dress in a suit and tie to anywhere you go when you're running for office. Not a joke. Do not give them an excuse as a young person to say you're not taking it seriously. You must show up early to every meeting. You must say yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. You must remember names. You're going to be held to a higher standard, is what I'm saying, right? But then if they see that you're a young man and you're dressing well and you show up on time and you write thank you cards and you are a gentleman, then they'll have no reason not to take what you say seriously. All right? Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Just one more. Sorry. Yes. You will be the final question.
Okay. Thank you for letting me ask it. So I want to thank you for what you said to young women earlier. As a fourth-year medical student, like, I'm already pretty invested into my career. This is something that I've kind of been awoken to a little bit later. I'm surrounded by people in their 30s, women especially. We cry, like, how do we have families? How do we have kids? We have all these jobs working 80 hours a week. What advice do you have to those young women?
To career? First of all, you have a great way about you, and you're asking the right question. You're going to have to pray to God. I don't know if you're a Christian or not, but I don't want to give you specific advice, but here's the fact, is that, I mean, Houston has one of the most incredibly impressive medical networks in the country, so this is probably not an isolated phenomenon, right?
Not at all.
To go through residency, it's very hard to go through residency and also be married and have a child. And the uncomfortable truth is you're probably going to have to choose. And you might say, but I could do both. Maybe you can. I'm telling you, I get a lot of messages from 37-year-old nurses that are freaking out, right? And I feel bad for them. I have a heart for them. So I don't really know what to tell you. My advice is you have to know what you want most, and then you should prioritize that. But obviously, I bet you have a lot of medical debt, a lot of education debt too, right? So
yeah, I actually signed a contract for 14 years with the military, so I can't get out at this point.
Well, we serve an almighty God, and so, but look, the sooner that you say, this is what I want, more than that, that's a good thing, right? Don't delay, don't punt on it. So, thank you very much.
I appreciate that.
All right, in closing, everybody, if you guys would do me a favor, we do 3 podcasts a day. If you would subscribe to our podcast, The Charlie Kirk Show, it's always from a biblical, pro-conservative, hard-hitting approach. You guys all have phones. I know you do. So if you take out whatever podcast app you have, Apple. Oh, yeah, there it is right there. So, yeah, I was 30 pounds heavier in that picture. So that's what happens when you have a child and eat lots of carbohydrates. So you follow the QR code. I would deeply appreciate it. You hit the subscribe if it's an Apple iPhone. It's follow in the upper right-hand corner, Android. You weird people, you guys could figure out how to do that. I'm kidding. All right, in closing, get your life right with Christ. Know what worldview that you are following. And this generation, Generation Z, it's going to be up to you guys. I'm millennial, so I'm now passing the baton to you guys in some ways. And I believe firmly, those of you that decide to get involved with Turning Point USA, start a high school chapter, start a college chapter, we have all of our booths outside. I want you guys to bum rush that table, sign up. It will change your life. If I said something, it's like, boy, I want that purpose. I want that meaning. We can help you guys at Turning Point USA, the biggest events, the most impactful type of stuff on the ground. And look, we live in a great country, everybody. Praise God we live in America. It's going to be up to us together to save it. God bless you guys, and thanks for having us tonight. Thank you. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
The United States Constitution guarantees every American fundamental rights and protection of life, liberty, and property. Salem is celebrating our founding document with a special offer, a 1953 Oman U.S. Constitution lithograph. Understand the value of these lithographs is to know the story. A master lithographer, immigrant named Theodore Oman, came to this country to find the American dream. 70 years ago in 1953, Oman printed a limited number of these exceptional Constitution lithographs. Go to SalemEventStore.com to read Omen's entire story. America's most important document stands as a testament to all Americans to maintain their liberties, freedoms, and inalienable rights. Buy it and display it proudly. Buy a gift for your family and friends, for all the teachers in your communities. There's a limited number, so act today. Go to SalemEventStore.com to get your exclusive 1953 Omen U.S. Constitution lithograph. Buy it and display it proudly. While limited supplies last, there's a limited time, so act today. SalemEventStore.com, SalemEventStore.com.